Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another segment of Let's Talk About It on ESPN Jamestown AM 1400. We're translated on 97.1 FM and we're streamed online at newsdakota.com. Today, joining us here on Let's Talk About It, we have author Alicia Underly Nelson joining us. We're going to be talking about her new book, North Dakota Beer, and we'll be talking to Alicia about that and just the history of beer in North Dakota. It's a fantastic book, which came out on Monday this week or this month. Alicia, welcome to our show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We appreciate you taking time and joining us here on Let's Talk About It. So, as I said, new book, North Dakota Beer, A Heady History, which came out on Monday, July the 17th. Before we talk about your book, Alicia, let's get a little bit of information about you. Where are you from and how did you get into writing?
I'm from Hendren, Minnesota, originally, which is a tiny little town on the Minnesota side of the river in the Red River Valley. And I've written ever since college and started out in advertising and started getting into freelance writing more about 5 years ago and kind of jumped into writing about what's unique and interesting mm-hmm. about the upper Midwest and the prairie provinces of Canada. I operate a website called prairiestylefile.com, and that really digs into the things that you can't find anywhere else but in this part of the world. So it's mom and pop restaurants and locally owned shops and artists and events and kind of just telling the story of a part of the world that a lot of people don't pay attention to. It drives me crazy. I'm a travel writer now full time, and it drives me nuts when people refer to a place as flyover country because I'm like, no, this is an active place. There's so much cool stuff here. And the people that say that are almost always, 90% of the time, people that have never been to the Midwest, that have never been to this part of the world. And I think once you start showing them and telling them all the interesting things that are going on here, like they change their tune almost immediately. So I figured nobody's telling them the story. That's going to be my job. And I've done it for publications all over the world ever since.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, a great start or a great thing to that, too, is you've kind of brought your views with this newest book to North Dakota. And one of the biggest things and biggest parts of our history in North Dakota would be beer. And what better way to focus on our history and North Dakota beer? So where did you get your ideas to go with beer in North Dakota? Why was that kind of the topic that you wanted to focus on?
Well, I was covering a lot of beer for different publications. And I was doing some work with the North Dakota tourism folks, working with them to photograph a kind of a craft beer pamphlet. So that was very much on my mind. I was doing a lot of work with them. And because I was photographing beer, I was talking about beer. There were all these new craft breweries opening up. I took some photos of Worst Beer Hall in Fargo, which is where I'm based now. And that ended up in USA Today. So my name and beer were pretty closely linked. So when this publisher came around and started asking for people to throw their hat in the ring and pitch a book about North Dakota beer, I thought, yes, this is something that I'm qualified to do. And I really thought that this book would be 50% about the craft beer resurgence that's happening now, because we've had a huge explosion of interest and lots of legislation changing to make it easier for people to start those craft breweries. But what I realized is that this tradition of kind of do-it-yourself, scrappy beer brewing, and a real love for beer goes way back before statehood, way back to the frontier forts in North Dakota. And that was fascinating. And the book itself really evolved from something that I thought was going to be sort of a breezy look at what people are brewing now to something that really tries to dig down and figure out how people have grown barley for beer, how people have made beer, how people have thought about beer and consumed it here for, decades. And that was so much fun because it was really fun to see that people really haven't changed all that much. Don't ever let anybody tell you that history is boring. I looked through and read stories about guys drinking beer on the frontier forts, Fort Abercrombie near Wobbeton, Fort Totten up near Devil's Lake, people drinking beer all of, and I'm like, you know what? I know these guys. I've been to that party. Like this, this all feels really familiar. People have not changed all that much. And that was the story. I mean, right up until the present, it's really fun. It's fun to hear stories about people's prairie ancestors putting up a dance floor in the middle of the prairie, actually kind of near Valley City and dancing until dawn. I mean, that's cool. That's, That's North Dakota for you, right?
Right, exactly. It's the history of the state, and one of those combining factors, one of those factors that brings people together, would have to be beer. So Alicia Underly Nelson, author of the North Dakota Beer Book, A Heady History. And what's great about this too, Alicia, is not only do you break down the history of beer in North Dakota, you kind of bounce between the different regions and the different areas of North Dakota where beer made a significant impact. And I mean, Jamestown, we have Jamestown listeners right now. Lots of Jamestown stories in the book as well.
Yeah, Jamestown is an interesting place. Beer really followed the transportation routes of the day. So it started out on the oxcart trails and kind of followed the river because that's how trade first developed. Then it went to ferry boats and then it switched to rail. So by 1886, the railroads were all the way across the state and people just kept pushing further and further west. And Jamestown was sort of at the center of this. And it actually, I mean, it only had about 1,000 people in the 1880s before statehood, but it was big enough to support 26 or 23 saloons, which is a lot. 23 is a lot for 1,000 people, and two breweries, and they were thriving. I mean, they were cranking out beer, mostly lager beer, that, you know, that straw colored, easy drinking beer that a lot of us are familiar with. They were cranking that out and shipping it by rail all over the territory.
Wow,
so it was really a booming place.
Yeah, it was really hopping back then. It sounds like because. What you also have in the book and something that really caught my eye is despite having that many saloons and that many and two breweries in the area, Jamestown was actually pretty active in fighting for prohibition when that era came about.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see those two forces coming together, and Jamestown's a really great microcosm of that fight. I mean, you had two breweries. You had the Southside Brewery rocking out on the south side of town near the James River by Klaus Park, and then you've got Jamestown Brewing Company, and they both operated in tandem from 1885 to 89. So they're just putting out a ton of beer. one brewery alone, Danner, the Southside Brewery, was doing 200 kegs a week, and that was going all over the region. And we don't know, we don't have reliable statistics on what the other brewery was doing, but it was probably really comparable. So that's a lot of beer coming in and out, a lot of places for people to drink. And it was really kind of a rough and tumble town at that time. The drinkers were mostly men. The bars only served men. And there was this culture of toasting that happened in beers and in bars and treating and celebrating good fortune. And it really made it hard to imbibe responsibly. Because what would happen is we'd go into a bar.
Yeah.
And we would sit down and have a drink. And maybe you and I are going to only go for one. Well, a smart bartender is going to see, gee, there's only two people here. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to buy the first round. Let me treat. Now, good manners would indicate that we would immediately have to buy a round each for everybody else that came into the bar.
Oh, man.
So we would do that. And then somebody would say, what are we toasting now? And we would toast your promotion, or we would toast the new acreage that you bought for the farm. And it would go on and on and on. And people would spend all their time and all their money. And some folks in town thought, this is ridiculous. All these bar owners are doing is starting a chain that keeps people in here for hours and all their money, and we're going to have to mortgage the farm. And there were a number of forces that said, enough, this is enough. These folks are operating these saloons 24/7. Mm-hmm. Nobody gets any rest. People are drunk in the streets. Stop. And there was a huge push for temperance. And those two forces really fought back and forth all over the state. But especially in the eastern and the central part of the state, where there were different forces, women were really active in this fight. The Scandinavian immigrants had a very different opinion of this from the German-speaking immigrants, very different beer-drinking traditions. German immigrants were saying, hey, you know what, butt out, this is what we do, it's part of our culture, we can handle it responsibly. We're not connected with these folks that get drunk in the bars all the time, don't worry about it. And when people went to the polls to vote on statehood, the temperance folks who had been working really hard on a grassroots level at alcohol abolished county by county, the temperance folks snuck a little addition in there that also had people vote on whether or not the state should enter as a dry state. And it passed, but barely. It was just over 1,000 people passed. And to give you an idea of how contested this was, there was a huge celebratory parade that the temperance folks plan to throw right in Jamestown.
Yeah.
And they've been talking about it and they've been planning for it. And when people woke up on November 3rd, 1889, and realized that North Dakota was a state, but you could no longer consume alcohol in it, that parade was really quietly canceled. So even the temperance folks, they were planning on victory, but something changed their minds and they thought, ooh, maybe we better keep our victory a little bit quiet. And North Dakota entered the Union as a dry state and did not stop drinking at all. They just got much more creative about how they did it and where.
It's amazing, really. I mean, the history behind all of it and by each region, there's a story for every, it seems like for every region in North Dakota, and you kind of go over a lot of that, Alicia. I'll remind our listeners, Alicia Underlie Nelson joining us here on Let's Talk, author of the new book, North Dakota Beer, A Heady History. We have some time, Alicia, to talk a little bit about this upcoming book tour you're going on, the North Dakota Beer Book Tour, sponsored by the North Dakota Humanities Council, making it possible for you to go around and share your book and your history.
Yeah, the North Dakota Humanities Council does really great work getting people talking about history and the humanities and culture and how all that intersects. And what's great is obviously the views and the findings and the things that I talk about on this book tour don't necessarily reflect what the North Dakota Humanities Council or the National Endowment for the Humanities believe necessarily.
Right.
But they allow me that freedom to go out and talk to people in the community and to talk about history and to talk about culture and to really tell those stories. I was just up in Minot having a visit and telling people about the book, and people said, have you heard about our connections to organized crime and what happened during Prohibition up here? I said, yeah, absolutely. That's in the book. And that kind of dialogue is what all of these book tour stops are about, because people have these kind of town legends and they're really hungry to know, like, can we verify that? What is that true? Do we have evidence for it? What happened after? How are we connected to the rest of the region? Because North Dakota beer is connected to Canada, to Montana, to Minnesota, and each region really does have its own unique story. So it's really fun for me to be able to go out and do these different events. I mean, I'm going to be everywhere. The book tour kicks off at Fort Abercrombie during their Sunday history program on July 30th, which is great because that's one of the very first breweries in North Dakota. And that was the first fort that was built after statehood. Okay. So that's really wonderful to be able to be there after the Dakota Territory was established.
Right.
So that's really great to be able to kick it off there. And I'll be everywhere. I'll be in Fargo. I'll be in Wahpeton. I'll be across the river in Moorhead, Minnesota. I've got some stuff planned for Bismarck in Mandan. And I am working out coming to Jamestown and Valley City too. And it's just a really great chance to, read a little bit about the book and to show people something that they might not know about their hometown, but also a chance to listen to those stories, because so much of the research in this book hasn't been recorded in a book anywhere. It's in file folders and people's notes and stuff in people's garages and journals and stories. And I did a lot of just, old fashioned legwork tracking this down. And it was really exciting to be a part of, because it's about the stories that people tell. And it's really fun to be able to tell people, like, no, that's not a legend. That's not, this myth about your town. That's actually true. And that's really fun to be able to talk to people about that. And I'm just really grateful that there are organizations like the North Dakota Humanities Council that kind of give us a chance to think outside the box. You know, it's not just art and literature. It's not just history. It's not just beer in the world of food and drink. All this stuff is always intersected. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun to be able to sit down and in many cases be able to go to a local tap room or go to a local bar and have a drink and just talk to people about beer and what it means to them, because it's always been something that's resonant for people here in the state.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, Alicia. I agree 100%. A huge history, a big part of North Dakota's history. North Dakota Beer, A Heady History, available now. Alicia Underlie Nelson, the author of that book. Alicia, if people want to learn more about your book or about you, do you have a website or anywhere they can go to check that out?
I do, yep. Everything is available through my website, prairiestylefile.com. That's prairiestylefile.com, and you can order that online with me. All of the orders that come through my website are autographed, and I've got some really cool North Dakota beer merchandise too. So
Excellent. And
tells you where I'll be and what I'm doing and what you can buy.
Excellent. Well, we'll make sure we follow along and see if you're gonna when you're gonna be in Jamestown. We'll try to get you back on. Okay.
That sounds wonderful.
Excellent, Alicia Underly Nelson, North Dakota Beer: A Heady History, her new book. Alicia, thank you for joining us here on Let's Talk.
Thanks for having me.